Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? You're listening to Around the World with Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more on Around the World with Dan Perry. Hello again, everybody. My guest today is Morgan McKinnon. Morgan is my roommate here in Beijing, China, and she's been on the international school scene for the last few years. In our discussion, we talked a lot about what it was like to move to China, and I think if I had to summarize what we talked about, it'd go like this. People in the West tend to have an idea in their heads of what China is like before they ever come here. And once they get here, some of the stuff they thought was true is confirmed, and other stuff turns out to be totally wrong. So we talked about what those things were for both of us. And we also touched on Morgan's incredible journey over the last year. She has lost 100 pounds through hard work and dedication, and we're all very proud of her. Let's get into my discussion with Morgan McKinnon. So, how long have you been in China?
This is my fifth year in China. Yeah. So, I've been here quite a long time, but don't ask me, I don't speak Chinese.
You speak some?
A little bit. Well, EDN. EDN.
EDN. You don't speak the Beijing accent.
No, EDR.
Beijingers speak with an R.
I do love the pirate.
Yes.
I still have a problem when I go to San Latoon. Uh-huh. If I don't have that San Latoir, but I don't have to do it in the correct way, or they don't take me there.
The taxi drivers don't?
Yeah, taxi drivers. I have to say it like perfect.
Tour.
Say the tour.
Tour. Yeah.
Still probably saying it wrong.
I really like the Beijing accent. It's my favorite.
Yeah. So. But when you go to other places in China, though, and you use the R, they look at you like you're...
They always laugh at you. Like, what's wrong with you? Did you learn Chinese in Beijing?
Yeah. Like, or they don't even know that that's what they do in Beijing because they've never been there.
Or they've never been there. Yeah. But I'm like, dude, I learned your language in the capital of your country. Yeah. Where there's 20 million people.
So maybe you don't know Chinese. Yeah. That's what I'm
saying.
Maybe
Beijing is the correct accent.
Yeah. Just like Americans speak the correct English.
Right. Yeah, of course. Those British.
I don't know
what the hell they're saying.
We actually had several arguments last night about different words. So
really?
Potato, tomato.
That stuff.
Yeah, Ben, rubbish, yeah.
It's a little weird for me because I tutor kids here in English, and some of the books that I use for the material are British English. Mm-hmm. And so I have to say phrases that I wouldn't ever say as an American.
It's
like
true.
Like at the weekends.
Yeah, at the weekends.
What are you doing at the weekends?
What am I doing this weekend?
Right.
Yeah, but I feel like traveling, though, you have to like acclimate yourself to that and just kind of use words you normally...
You do.
Wouldn't use, and you just become okay with it, you know?
You kind of do have to adapt, and especially if you're talking with people who are in another country and only mm-hmm. learn the one dialect.
That's true.
I mean, I was talking, for some random reason, I was saying diaper in Australia, and mm-hmm. the person had no idea what I meant.
What do they call it?
Nappy.
A nappy. Oh, my God. Oh, and like coriander and like things
and
like
cilantro.
That. Yeah. They think we're crazy. But now I call it, like, those kinds of things, I kind of call it that now because that's what everybody knows.
That's true.
As, minus Americans.
I can never think of cilantro, actually. I'm always like, what do they call, what's the other word for coriander?
Yeah. Or courgette. Eggplant.
What's
eggplant, yeah.
Courgette?
Well,
there's aubergine.
What is courgette?
What is a courgette? I don't know.
Zucchini.
Okay.
So, yeah, they have different words and they don't understand zucchini or eggplant or... Because it's not an egg or a plant. I mean, it's a plant, but it's totally a plant. Okay, it's not an egg plant.
I don't know why it's an eggplant. I don't know why we came up with that word.
Yeah, no idea.
Especially when they had a word, aubergine.
And it's also like traveling, I've also had to get used to using Celsius, kilograms.
Oh, the metric system,
Like, it's so kind of annoying that Americans changed everything. Miles.
Yeah.
pounds. I'm like, oh man, could you please translate that for me? Right. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I've learned. Say pounds to them and they're like, could you translate that for me?
Right. How many kgs is that? How many stones is that?
Oh, stones. Yeah. But usually people who know stones know kg too, because not a lot of people use stones.
Right. I think that's only Britain.
Yeah. So they usually know kg, because somebody asked me that the other day, how many stones? And I was like, I don't know.
Right.
How,
yeah. And
45 kg. But...
And I don't get, like, you can lose a lot of weight or gain a lot of weight and not gain a stone.
That's true.
You can be at like 15 stones and then you gain like 10 pounds and you're still at 15 stones.
That's true. I'm like, I don't understand what's happening. Yeah.
What's going on here?
I only weigh 10 stones. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's, you need a little bit more granular of a system than stones.
It's true. Yeah. Hey, I don't mind kg, but even when my dad came to visit and he stood on a scale here, he was like, whoa, I'm like 100 kg. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of a lot.
It might not sound like much.
He's like, yeah, this is awesome. I'm like, no, go convert that in pounds.
Right.
It's like half.
Yeah, plus and then some.
Yeah, and then some.
Double it and then.
I like kg. It makes me feel skinny.
Right.
I don't mind it.
And then the centimeters makes me feel tall.
Yeah.
I'm 190.
Oh, yeah. But then, like, the measurement around your waist and stuff, I never know, like, what size pants to get.
I have no idea.
Yeah, so centimeters, that's all confusing.
But I think above anything else, Fahrenheit to Celsius is, like, the most confusing.
I don't understand it.
Because everything else is a simple, like, you just multiply or divide. But like,
in the 20s is hot. And,
right. Fahrenheit to Celsius, you have to like add 32 or subtract 32 and then multiply or divide. So it's like two conversions.
But I tell people all the time, it makes sense. 100 degrees is hot for Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
0 degrees is cold. In between is like nice.
Yeah.
So you've made it confusing for us.
Like, I think for most things, Celsius is probably better for like boiling water. Obviously, 100 is boiling, and that makes perfect sense to me.
That's true.
But as far as the temperature of the air, like
Fahrenheit makes more sense.
Fahrenheit is better, I think. Not like way better, but a little bit more useful.
Yeah,
because 100 Celsius is not something you'd ever have.
That's true.
It's not useful.
That's true. So, and then usually it doesn't get hotter than what, like 30 or?
Well, 40 is like really hot.
40 is like what? Dubai
104.
Or
I was in Dubai last summer in June. It hit 47. It was insanely hot.
I don't think I could live there. No.
I couldn't believe it.
Because I actually think in Beijing it gets pretty hot. And then only gets up to what, like 30 maybe?
It hits 40 sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. And it gets pretty hot in like August. But it's bearable. Like because it's only a little bit of time. But like other countries that stay like that, no.
When it's hot all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, supposedly you adjust to it over time, but I've spent maybe like 3 months straight in the tropics, like where I've never gone to like any even remotely cool place, and I'm still like just sweating all day. And I never have adjusted.
No, I can't do it. I like my seasons. I'm from Washington, D.C., so we have like, it's like Beijing. It's the same seasons.
Oh, it's about the same climate?
Yeah, it's about the same.
Yeah, Wisconsin's
so
a bit
what
colder.
It's like here is usually like what is happening there. So.
Oh, and at the same time of year, too.
Yeah, so it's like that. I'm used to it, so I don't mind like when it gets cold. I just hate the like grayness and the pollution when it gets cold.
Oh.
I don't mind a cold blue day, but a cold pollution gray day,
right.
Not my favorite type of day.
I know, it's so bad.
Yeah, and so like back home, it's like, oh, it's cold, but it's still pretty, and you could still go for a walk. But here, it's like, no, you don't even want to leave the house. And everybody hibernates and kind of like, it's like weird in the winter. Like everybody is like not alive. Everybody's kind of like sheltered and like doesn't want to do anything. And
I know, and it doesn't really snow here either. Like,
no,
like it gets cold, but it gets below freezing.
Out of like 5 years that I've been here, I think it snowed like 2 or 3 times, and it's like a dusting.
Yeah.
It's not a lot.
Right. So like, I mean, in Wisconsin, we'll get snow, and then if we're lucky, it stays for a couple months. And there's a lot you can do once you've got snow. And like,
yeah, but it's always that nasty, like all of a sudden it starts turning into that nasty stuff that's getting splattered onto the
once
sun.
It melts, it's really bad.
Yeah, so that's the snow that sticks around that you can't get rid of.
Once the car exhaust mixes with the snow. But the best thing in the winter is kicking the snow off of your car.
Like, yeah.
So it's off the wheel well, but yeah. It builds way up, and it just goes and boom. Oh,
it's your favorite. I just like watching the snow slide off of people's roofs of their cars when they're driving because they didn't get it all off.
And
all
those bastards. Like, fucker.
Yeah, it's true.
You gotta clean your car, dude.
One thing I don't miss about living at home is like, when it snows and it like gets the ice gets on your car and then you have to go wake up really early to like start the car and like get the ice off.
Right,
and
right.
Now it's here. I don't have to worry about any of that. I just get in somebody else's car.
probably in DC you get that like that weather where it's a little bit below freezing. So like when we get a nice cold snow, it's not that sticky. It just blows off pretty easily. But when it's that like in between temperature and it freezes and you've got like a sheet of ice on your car and you just gotta chisel it off the windows.
And you have like black ice on the ground and
black time, ice for sure.
Yeah. I fell a few times growing up on the way to the bus stop.
Did you?
Yeah, not great.
but yeah, here obviously we don't even drive, so it is.
I miss that sometimes, like because I like being able to get in my car and just go somewhere if I want to go. But I don't miss the other things about it, like the traffic in Washington D.C. is so bad, so I don't miss that, and I don't miss the gas and the payments, the car payments, and like I don't know, it's really nice being here and not having to worry about those types of things because it makes it so much easier to save and kind of like enjoy other luxuries of like being able to travel or do whatever. So I don't miss those things about it. I just every once in a while the convenience is nice.
Sometimes, yeah. Like for the most part, China, it's super easy to get anywhere you want by public transportation.
That's true.
But sometimes it's like there's like some little village that you could take like 3 buses to get there. That's a few hours from Beijing.
Yeah. But it would have been way easier just to jump in a car and drive there.
So much easier.
But here, like I've heard in other countries, it's so much easier to rent a car or, you know, whatever. But here it's not that simple. So.
Right. I don't know if I'd want to drive here.
I don't think so either. But I'm not going to lie. Washington, D.C. And I remember your mom actually agreed with me. The traffic is worse than Beijing. So
that's crazy. Why is it so bad there?
They call it the mixing bowl. It's all these people commuting. So it's like Southern Maryland, Northern Virginia, and D.C. And everybody's like commuting in and out all the time. So and it's like these rush hour crazy times where it's the worst. But it could take you like 2 hours sometimes to go 15 minutes. It's insane.
Yeah. Sometimes like living here, it makes me really appreciate the people that like people bunched up together in a small area. As weird as that sounds.
Yeah.
Because in Beijing, like the way it's laid out, you've got Tiananmen Square in the middle and it's almost like a dartboard with the ring roads. And so if you draw a line, like draw a circle with a radius of 12 miles maybe, that's like the main part of Beijing, like Fifth Ring Road.
It's true.
And there's 20 million people in that area.
Yeah.
It's a ton of people. Yeah. So when you first think of that many people bunched into such a small space, it sounds awful. But then you've got so many conveniences everywhere because of that. You've got just shops everywhere and restaurants and you can walk wherever you want. And
it's true. And I can't believe the amount of restaurants and little stores and all these places that stay in business because there are so many people here, so.
Absolutely.
But it gives more of, it gives the Chinese, like these people who probably don't have a lot of money, more opportunity to like make money and to run these little things and.
Yeah. So. That's like, it's kind of both the hardest business in the world to run and like keep going, but then it's so easy to just open a restaurant, especially if you're from like a different part of China and you've got your local cuisine that's totally different. And
yeah.
Like we've got the Muslim shop that's just down the block and it's always really busy and these
even
guys
the little
are from
dumpling
the
shop is always
the dumplings busy, she's from Hangzhou
and they obviously are doing well because they go away for 2 weeks or 3 weeks of Chinese New Year and then they come back and they start it up and people are like piling in there to eat and
that place is always busy. I mean it's really good food, super cheap.
Yeah,
you can get a like full meal for a couple dollars.
Yeah, for 20 yuan. I actually said like that's one thing that I'll miss about living abroad. If I ever go home, who knows when I'm going to go home. But I'll miss that is that like the cheapness of like being able to afford that thing. Like a lot of people, like back home, and even myself when I live there, you don't eat out several times a week.
No way. Like, I was just reading this article. This couple and their two kids, like the family, they spent, I think it was like $35,000 last year on on restaurants.
Yeah,
it's like crazy amount of money, and they. They're not going out to, they're not rich, they're not going out to like $100 a meal places, you know, the nicest places. They're just going out to eat.
But even if you add up, like my sister and a few other people I know go to McDonald's and get like a coffee and chicken nuggets or whatever every morning or afternoon, $2 a day or something, and it starts adding up. Yeah, like you think that you're like doing something really cheap, but when you actually like add it up, it's not actually that cheap.
Nah.
People that get Starbucks every day.
Like, oh, I know. Oh my God. That like, can look get at so that expensive. Bill.
Can you believe the amount of Starbucks in Beijing?
Oh, I
there's
know.
Like, I think everywhere. There's more here than in my county. Like, there's like one on every block. There's four in Shunyi and near the school where...
We were at this like shopping mall last night. And it's this giant mall now. And when we moved here 2 years ago, it was just a field.
Yeah.
And now it's this huge modern shopping mall.
Yeah.
And we're walking along looking for this person's apartment.
Oh, you're talking like, about Shine Hills. Yeah.
Yeah, Shine Hills, right. And so one of our friends
there's
lives
there. There's two in Shine Hills.
Yeah, we were walking past the Starbucks, and then we walked for like 5 minutes. Yeah. And, wait, another Starbucks?
Yeah.
Did I just circle around to the first one?
Am I in the wrong... it's crazy.
No, same Starbucks.
I noticed that. And even in Shunyi, there's like three Dunkin' Donuts now.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And nobody... Dunkin' Donuts here is horrible, so I don't understand.
Oh, I don't... But yeah.
They, like... It's interesting to see, like, people that come here and, like, they love that comfort. So they're going to get Dunkin' Donuts all the time. And...
Is it expensive there
too? It's not even good. So I don't know. I've actually only ever eaten it when people give me a donut. So I never bought one before.
Well, Starbucks here is, they're everywhere in Beijing anyway. Not all over China.
Yeah.
But the cheapest one you can get, the small coffee, is like 18 kuai.
Yeah.
It's like $3.
When you can get like a pack of coffee for 18 kuai. Yeah. Because I think the Yunnan coffee we get is 18, right?
Right. We came here right at the exact right time.
Yeah.
Because that's when they first started like selling the Yunnan coffee that's grown in China, in Beijing. And it's like 18 for a quarter kilo.
Yeah.
So that'll last us like a week.
Yeah.
Or you can just get one cup at Starbucks.
But some people are obsessed with that, so...
Oh, yeah. No, it's just... It's way too much money for my taste.
Yeah. Well, we all... Yeah.
Well, I mean, just about everything is.
I know you're not an average person for that.
Yeah, but I'm definitely on the lower lower ranks of how much money people
spend. How much
spend.
Money you want to spend.
Yeah, I'm definitely... I'm not the cheapest person I've ever met, but, like, I'm down
there. You're there. Yeah, you're down there. I like that. I'm down there on the budget end. But no, it's good though, because I look at your lifestyle and like, and sometimes I can be more frivolous, and it's amazing like what you can do because you save money. Like I'm actually worried like, oh God, I don't think I've saved that much here for how long I've been here.
Oh yeah.
But to be fair, my first year and a half here, I made less money than what I make now. And I went through like a spurt where I had to like do some jobs offhand while I was getting to my next job.
Okay.
So, and it was my first time, it's my first time abroad, so I wanted to travel everywhere. And at the beginning, when you're first, because it was my first time abroad, like you don't think about, you don't think about the expenses sometimes, and you're not thinking about like what you and Katie do sometimes about taking the cheaper ways. You kind of just do what you think that you should be doing. So you're probably doing the more expensive, and you think it's cheap because it's cheaper than what it'd be back home,
right? Yeah.
But it's really not. So I've had to like kind of learn over the years, like, oh wait, I could be staying at these hostels, I could be eating at these, you know, like, and doing that and finding the better transportation. So I think that's why I haven't saved as much as I should have, because I wasn't really a smart traveler for a long time. I kind of had to learn how to be a smart traveler. And I'm still not even that smart, but I'm smarter.
Yeah, I mean, everybody starts somewhere, and everybody's kind of got their own style of how they do things. And some people kind of never leave that like luxurious style. And
And I don't think I ever had a luxurious style, but I definitely...
Oh, well, when I say luxurious, I mean, like, taking a taxi. Yeah. To me, it's different. It's luxurious, yeah.
To me, luxurious is somebody who only wants to go to, like, a resort at a beach, and they don't want to leave that resort.
Oh, right.
And they want to get massages and...
Yeah, that would never even cross my mind.
Yeah, that's luxurious. But for me, yeah, I was more luxurious for me was, like, taking taxis and probably not taking the public transportation as much. Not even that I was, like... I was more nervous because I didn't know how, you know, like, and I had to, like, you have to learn how, like, in China, all of the bus schedules are in Chinese and all that. And you guys have had to show me, like, okay, you need to use Baidu Maps and it does show you and things like that.
Like, the subway is really easy here. Like, for anyone listening, if you want to come to Beijing, I mean, you can get most places by subway.
Oh, well, the subway is so easy here.
And it's easy to use it. Yeah. Everything's in English and Chinese.
Yeah.
But if you want to get down into, like, the neighborhoods and, like, go places that... The few places that are away from the subway.
If you go, like, outside of Beijing...
Or go longer distances. You need to use the buses. And that's only written in Chinese. Yeah.
And where we live, though, in Dongjimin, like, it's actually kind of a weird area if you want to get to, like, Sanlitun or you want to get to somewhere else because there's, like, 3 transfers just to get 1 mile. So you just need to, like...
Oh, the subway, I mean?
You need to walk or ride a bike or something like that, yeah.
Right.
But there's always just some of those weird little hubs that you have to kind of you want to take an easier route, you know. The subway here is nice, it's clean. I actually really love being there in the summer because it has AC. Maybe I'll start marketing the subway for Beijing. It's good.
It's like any subway in the world, but it's the advantage they have is it's so new.
Yeah.
I mean, well, 15 years ago, there was like 2 lines here.
Well, I was telling my dad and his friends when they visited that, you know, like they built a lot of them for the Olympics.
Right.
And so a lot of things that happen here, like the Olympics or Obama's coming or something, you know, like the people, government officials they love, they're going to clean the air. They're going to make it easier and prettier for...
For sure. They had a huge transformation for the Olympics.
Yeah. And Olympics are coming back, so we're kind of excited about that, right?
Yeah. No, it is exciting for me. Yeah. I mean, it's cool that... I think it's really good for
China.
Well,
we're not even going to be here.
No, I won't be here.
If we come back, we'll see some new stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
What was I saying? The transportation... Oh, the whole thing of Beijing, you almost have to talk about it, like, in terms of before and after the Olympics.
Yeah, it's true.
Because everything, from what I hear, everything changed in 2008.
And I have friends who've lived here for 10, 15 years, and they say, like, the transformations every year is insane. Like, just, like, the Western restaurants that are popping up, and the malls, and the, you know, like, all of these things. Like, there's something new all the time happening.
Yeah. So. Have you noticed it in your time here? In a few years?
More like restaurants and stuff. And I think that, like, because my experience is a little bit strange, because when I first moved here, I lived in the south of Beijing where it was, like, kind of nothing. Mm. So my whole outlook was different because I was kind of that scared new traveler that I had to be with somebody to want to, like, go experience something. And I kind of had to start getting more confidence.
Okay,
you can still go into the city alone, like... But I was, like, kind of nervous. So for the first 6 months, I kind of sheltered myself in these little areas. And there was a McDonald's and a... There was... So I that's when I learned I love Chinese food because I'm not going to eat McDonald's every day. And there was Chinese restaurants. That's why I had to start learning a little bit of Chinese because I needed to be able to order stuff because it was literally no foreigners. And there was probably, like, 10 to 15 of us in this area. And we all knew each other.
Yeah.
So, because it was just a few schools. And that experience for me made it... So, like, that's what I saw. So, when I came into the city, when I would go with friends or something, I only saw what we would kind of go to. I didn't, like, adventure out for a while. But, yeah, I've seen, like, just some changes in, like, buildings. And there's always cranes in Beijing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's always something being built. I mean... Just in front of our apartments, like that stuff they're doing next to the
Ghost
subway.
Street?
No, yeah, next
oh,
to the subway.
Oh, right.
They took away the whole sidewalk now. You're kidding
me? it's a little frustrating. There's this.
Me and Katie are always running into each other when we walk because there's like nowhere to go.
Yeah, sometimes sometimes this happens where they'll take away public spaces. Mm-hmm. Or in this case, I don't know if it was for sure public, but there was a little park. And it was so nice to just walk through those on the way to the subway. Yeah.
And it was a little cut through, right?
A little shortcut.
A little shortcut.
Nothing huge.
2 seconds off my travel.
Yeah. But it was just nice. And now it's just a giant wall and you can't go in that area
anymore.
Yeah,
and there was even like benches. But they do these things. We don't know what they're building. But it almost becomes a construction zone that is like... Oh man, they couldn't even, they're not doing it in a very nice way where they're almost like making it a hassle for you to get around it.
It is. And there was there's someone that sells like newspapers out of a cart and
I think it's
like
been soda closed since then.
Yeah, and it's not even open anymore. It's just sitting there and it's in the sidewalk. Yeah. Blocking right the entire sidewalk.
Next to the wall.
So now you have to walk out onto the street to walk around this and back up on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff can get frustrating.
Especially because when you're walking down those bike lanes and stuff, like as pedestrians in China do not have the right of way.
Right.
So we can get hit at any time.
Yeah.
And sometimes they might not even stop to check on you. So you don't want to be walking in the bike lanes and in the streets. You want to avoid it as much as you can.
Shit. Even in the sidewalks, there's like cars driving on the sidewalks sometimes.
But it's, there's cars parked on sidewalks.
They'll park up there. Yeah.
It's funny because I'm so used to all of these things now, but to like see like my dad or somebody else come here and visit, like that's the first thing that they wanted to look at all of the time was, oh my God, there's no street signs. Oh my God, look how they're parked. Like, why is that guy on the sidewalk? And for me, it's just like, this is just who they are. Like,
it's just normal.
It's normal. Like,
yeah, we've both been here a while now.
Yeah, ignore it. Like, and then I forget that like people that are coming here are like seeing it for the first time.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool to have visitors. Like, that's why I like couchsurfing a lot too, because a lot of the people who stay here are like just new.
Yeah.
And they notice stuff that is just so normal to me now that I don't notice it anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
And I get to like see it through their eyes.
And it's stuff that I'm like, wow. Like, I notice how much I've changed being here because I don't notice those things anymore. I see it as like, that's their culture. Why do you care? You know?
Or right,
Like, one of the guys that visited was really could not get over not tipping. And the service would be better if they would just tip. And I kept having to explain that America is really, or United States is, and maybe Canada, we're the places that tip. There's most
countries, we're the weird ones.
Yeah, that's most countries, like, look at what we pay our wait staff. Like, it's horrible. And then, but it's just like those little things that they complain about. And I'm like, but that's who they are. And you just have to, and like, we talked about that one time about how, one of the guys thought that they were rude, like the way they did things, but they're trying to survive. This is what they know. And they even commented like, Morgan, you have some of those habits now, like we're watching you and you have some of those habits, but it's like, because it is true. You have to be able to survive. You have to be able to like throw out your elbows in the subway and get through.
Oh,
like,
I didn't. Yeah.
You have to you have to be able to like get in the elevator with 20 people on a sardine and you know, it just gets, you know, so it's like, no, that's just how they were raised because you're actually raised with those habits. And if you're not taught those habits, then you're not going to do it.
Yeah,
so
it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just different.
That's just who they are. So I feel like actually like when I go home and when I'm here, like I notice that like I've changed in my outlook, my patience, my like just ability to adapt, you know, like and just say, oh, fuck it. This is just who they are. And like, that's what's going to happen. There's obviously times where I lose my temper and I'm like, oh, why isn't
everybody does though. I mean,
yeah. And why isn't this working for me? But I noticed that like my temper is less and less.
Yeah, for sure.
Longer I live here.
Right, right.
Like the first few times, like going to the bank in Beijing.
Oh, that's an experience I hope to never go through.
Because
I've had to listen to the people's stories.
Yeah. Like the red stamp, the like
everything. The bureaucracy.
Honestly, the amount of paperwork they have on you, you wonder if they have this like building just full of your papers. Mm. Like one building for each person. Because where do they store it? Why do they need it? You know, so.
It's unreal. We had, remember Wang Yi?
Mm-hmm.
I've had him like twice now on this podcast.
Love Wang Yi.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Wang Yi, I love you.
Morgan still remembers you. So he wanted, or maybe it was a couch surfer we had, wanted to change $100. I forget who it was, but Wang Yi came with us. And he's Chinese, and he has a Chinese ID.
Mm-hmm.
And we went just to the bank, like, okay, here's the situation. We have $100 and we would like this to transfer into Chinese money. That's it. Mm-hmm. And that probably took an hour and a half. And mm-hmm. there's about 30 papers to sign and a stack, like a booklet of papers.
Yeah.
And at the end, I'm like, God, that took forever. That was horrible. And Wang Yi said, yeah, but I'm Chinese. And it would have been twice as hard if one of you guys had gone in with your foreign passport. Like, holy shit.
And it's true. I went with my friend who's Irish. And we sat, because we were going to go to lunch or something. So we sat there together. And it took like 2 hours to change money. Just to change money. Like, when you go to the airport or somewhere, you give them the money. They literally in 2 minutes have handed you the money back. And why are we going through this in a bank? The bank should be actually faster.
And they're, I mean, I understand that they're a little paranoid about Chinese, like, capital flight from China. Mm-hmm. That's fully understandable. Yeah. But we're talking about the other direction. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about me wanting to buy dollars. I want to buy Chinese money, and it's this hard.
That's true. And we're trying to get your money. Yeah.
Yeah, we want your.
We can spend your money.
Right. We're helping. We're helping.
You're gonna get the money back.
Yeah, exactly. but if you are like planning to come to China, you can avoid all this. You just have to bring your ATM card, and then there's ATMs.
But check with your ATM, your bank, that they will accept the ATM card in China.
Yes. Absolutely. You had problems with this. I take it.
Yeah. Well, I had foreign friends that came and ended up running out of money, but they knew that the ATM cards that they had wouldn't allow it, so they thought they could use their credit card everywhere, which is untrue. So if you're planning on coming to Beijing, everywhere does not accept a American credit card.
Yeah, well, they have better than a credit card here. They have WeChat wallet.
I love WeChat wallet.
Yeah, it's.
Oh my god.
I don't know if they have this in the States yet or not, because I haven't been there.
I wonder if WhatsApp like does something.
Maybe,
like that.
But with WeChat, you could just pay with your phone, like it's for just about anything. Like you buy an apple out on the street for 25 cents.
Yeah.
You can pay for it with your phone.
You're like, one quiet. Okay, hold on.
Takes 2 seconds.
It's awesome, but I've heard like people don't like to use it because they're worried that the government controls WeChat. So.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. But if you're just buying like food and stuff, like
they're
who cares?
Taking my money. So.
Yeah. Whatever. Who cares?
But it's really convenient. But now I notice I never have cash, ever anymore, because I'm always using WeChat.
Oh, you don't? Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. Huh. So I always have to remember that you do need cash sometimes.
Yeah, I'm still a cash guy.
You're old school.
Yeah, even at home, I don't use a credit card. Yeah. I mean, only if I have to.
No, I actually don't own a credit card.
Oh, really?
I decided after I paid off my debt, I paid off my credit card.
Congratulations.
I cut it, and I said, I don't need one. Anything I buy is going to be, like, that's it. Like, it's been paid for. So,
okay.
But I've heard that having a credit card is a good thing sometimes, and it's a nice backup.
Yeah.
But I don't think I, you know, when I go back to the States or something, if I live there again, I'll think about it.
Maybe, yeah.
Having it might build my credit if I
use
it.
I hear about that. Build up your credit.
Yeah. I don't need it. No.
I don't really understand anyway. Like, these formulas for checking your credit score or how your credit score is calculated are pretty mysterious. And I don't really get it.
That's true. It is. And I look at, like, my credit score when I went home and I was like, I don't even know what that is. And
right.
Yeah. They had old debt on there that I thought would go away. I don't even know. So. And I don't miss that either, is like all the bills. I don't miss it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We don't really have, well, you don't have to worry about any of these because Katie and I do them.
Oh, yeah.
Like paying our electric bill and our water bill.
It's pretty awesome.
Gas bill. We do have bills here, Morgan. Yeah, you just don't do that.
Oh, no, I mean, I don't miss the amount that bills cost.
Oh, the total sum, yeah.
But I do know. I know. But the cool thing about electricity here, what I do like, is that it's not a monthly bill. It's like, so you don't, it's not a surprise. You kind of know how much, what's happening.
The way it works is we have a meter.
You know what's happening because you check the meter.
Yes. But we should explain this. Like, we have a meter outside of our apartment. Mm-hmm. And it's actually super simple. It has a number on it, and that's how much money you have left. Or it might be how many units you have left, but it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Once that number reaches zero, your power goes out.
So when it reaches like to 20 to 30, you should probably go up.
Make sure you put some money on it. Yeah. But then you can put enough money on that it'll last like 3 or 4 months if you want.
Once you get good at knowing
what
you spend, it gets pretty easy.
And someone showed Katie once that if the power does happen to go out because you ran out of money, you can use your phone to put more money on it.
Yeah, you can use Alipay, right?
Ah, right.
You have to set up value.
Otherwise, yeah, if you don't have all this stuff, I've just gone to the bank. And like any bank can do it for you.
Well, when I did have my own apartment, I used to pay the bill, so I know how to do it.
Oh, you do. Okay. And this banking transaction is actually easy.
Yeah.
It's not like easy. The changing money thing.
But sometimes the machine there is, well, it is in Chinese, so I get somebody to kind of press all the buttons for me.
Yeah, every time I've gone, there's been an employee there that just goes, oh, foreigner, oh, yep, okay.
Jigga, hello.
That's, if you just, that's another thing. If you just learn a couple words in Chinese, jiga means this, and nega means that.
Nega.
And that, and even just jiga.
Yeah.
That
one word can get you so far.
Yeah. this. Okay. We're done.
Dosha. And that means how much.
There you go.
So.
But the one thing that we kind of touched on that, I want to come back to though is, so there's stuff that annoys you that annoys people that come to China for the first time, but then there's stuff that annoys me going back home.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them that works both ways is tipping. Because your dad's friend is like mad that, why don't they tip here? They'd get better service. But okay, I can kind of see that. But when I go home, I get mad. And it's not really from going to a sit-down restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like even ever since I've been alive, like you've always had the tip at restaurants. And it's just that's kind of been steady. But the thing that's been changing since I became an adult is tipping at other places. Like go to a gas station and now there's a tip jar out, you know? Go to like...
They have it everywhere. Cold Stone Creamery and everywhere has tip jars. Yeah.
They always want a tip.
But now they also, like, you have to tip to get a pedicure. You have to tip to get a manicure. Uh-huh. You have to tip to get your hair cut.
Right.
You have to tip. And I'm like, but don't you get a salary? I don't understand.
You guys get paid, right?
I understand waiters and waitresses because I was a waitress and you get paid $2.15 an hour because you're supposed to get tips.
Sure, there's a tipping minimum wage.
But there's like, when you get your hair cut, like...
Are they on that $2.15 an hour?
No, and that's their job. So I don't understand. You're supposed to cut my hair. Did you do anything? I didn't get a massage with it. So
right.
Which in China, in Beijing, there's some places that give you a full head massage.
You do get a massage,
before you get your hair cut. And it's amazing.
Even the cheaper places.
And I don't have to tip them to get that massage.
Never.
Does the one on Vegetable Alley do massages before they...
Yeah. Not like crazy massage, but they'll massage your scalp.
Yeah.
They wash your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And they massage your scalp for about 10 minutes. And then they get into the haircut.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like costs about in dollars like... $9-$10.
Yeah, it's awesome. I get my hair cut here for like 80 yuan and they wash it and do all that. And that's if I go to a cheap one. But if I go home, it's like $30, $40, $50, depending on what you want. Yeah. And it's insane.
Yeah, anything that's labor intensive is going to be a lot cheaper in China, usually.
The only thing that's expensive, I think, is dyeing hair sometimes can be a little bit more.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I've never done it at a cheap place because... As a foreigner, I get nervous that they don't know how to dye blonde hair.
I wonder, because this seems like a big, like, racial difference. Like, Chinese people don't seem to go gray until they're really old.
So do you think they dye their hair?
I wonder if they dye their hair. But, like, you don't see too many men with gray hair either.
That's
so
true.
It seems like they've got to be at least 60 or 70 before they start going gray.
Yeah.
And by then, they probably don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like they're 25 or 30.
They're like, I know that my parents said, okay, I'm old. It doesn't matter anymore.
You know? At some point, you do.
Yeah.
But if you're like 30 or 35, like some people are going gray already. And
it's true. And I don't really want gray hair at age 30. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's true.
So it seems like more of a normal thing.
But it's not as normal here. And I don't see like the hair dye and all that stuff very often. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's not your thing, so.
No, it's not. It's not my area of expertise.
Yeah, hair dye, really?
Right. Yeah.
So you.
Just a little frivolous for me.
Yeah.
We're talking about luxury.
That's a luxury.
Yeah.
You're right.
You've been here a few years, right? Mm-hmm. So, and you're leaving next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what made you decide to move on?
I moved... Backstory. I moved here kind of like that scared traveler, like kind of like not really. I kind of left a bad place in the States. Like I kind of left running away from things. So.
Oh, you want to talk about that more?
No, I was just going to go to the future. You know, and like.
The past is in the past.
So you do all those things. And then I had that kind of rough 6 months to a year. And then it started building. And then all of a sudden it got like my. I met a few people that were like my connectors. Like they really like kind of built this puzzle for me, and like I started becoming more confident and stronger. And like I've finally like started really enjoying Beijing and really joining different groups and like seeing, like doing different things, changing my lifestyle and all these things. And I really enjoyed it. And I've seen that, like I've seen that progress and that growth and like all of those things. But then slowly this year I've been noticing that like I've kind of reached a point where it's like I don't plan on staying in Beijing my whole life.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't plan on finding my husband here. We don't have to talk about that in detail. I noticed that like losing a little bit of that motivation at work, and I'm just like, I just need a new spark in my, like a new, just something to just like change it up. And the pollution, it kind of, the winters kind of
that
get
could
long
up,
and
down, yeah.
And the winters kind of get long and dreary and, you know, it's just like, okay, I think I've like, now I've hit this plateau and I'm ready to just like move forward in something new.
So that took like 4 years or something before you got started feeling that way?
Yeah. I mean, last year I kind of like felt like, okay, next year could be it. And I got here in the fall or in the spring, end of summer. Mm-hmm. And I actually said, what the fuck am I still doing here?
Oh, really?
I did. Huh. Yeah, but that was because...
Like, what's left, or...
What's, you know, but, like, I, you know, I started that whole weight loss thing last year, so it was kind of like, I'm going to complete that this year. That's going to be my goal, and I, you know, I still had, you know me, I hadn't been doing, like, a lot of, like, things that scared me, like hiking, like, more intense hikes, and, like, doing things that kind of, like, scared me before because of, like, how big I was and things like that. So, like, I was like, okay, I'll... Work is kind of sucks right now. So I'm gonna change me more, like in those ways, things that I've been kind of like kind of weird about. So this year was important for me, and I feel like it took, at the beginning I felt like, what the fuck am I doing here? But then I'm like, okay, let's do all these things and let's make a transformation in a different way.
So you started about a year ago doing this then, right? Like this transformation thing.
Yeah, March. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, last March.
Because for people who don't know, like you've lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And
yeah, like 45 kg from all the ones that know kg. 100 pounds and pounds.
That's so, a lot of weight.
Yeah, like it, I honestly thought I would. I've always been like the yo-yo dieter. Like I'll start, and then I really, really wanted to change my lifestyle, not just like lose the weight and with some crash diet like Jenny Craig or whatever I used to do in the past, like, or cut out all carbs, you know, like juice it up, you know, like, you know,
tried all the stuff that works for a while, and
but it's not sustainable. Yeah. Yeah. So I decided that, but it's like living with you and Katie has like, you guys were really good for me because you guys are just healthy people. Well, mainly because she cooks for you and you
and
eat whatever.
We're a good team.
Good team.
She cooks and I eat.
So I think if she cooked unhealthy things, you'd eat that too. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure I would.
So I'm like, but it was good for you because you guys are like super outdoorsy and you like liked and you challenged me in other ways when I finally get the gumption to try it. But
yeah,
I wanted to start doing those things. Like, okay, like if they invite me for a hike, I should go. You know, like they invite me all the time. Or, you know, like I, you know, should start riding a pedal bike. Like I kept saying I was going to, but I never did, and I had a scooter for a while.
Yeah.
You know, like trying to get out of those lazy habits. So like that, like this year was really about that kind of thing. Like get out of like the comforts and the luxuries and the all of that. So I think this year was actually ended up being an important year for me, and it's helped me grow in a different way, you know?
Sure. It doesn't have to all be about like adventure and discovering new cultures. Like, you've worked on yourself. And
yeah.
That's really awesome.
I think that the whole journey of Beijing has done that for me. Like the person I came in as is not the person I'm leaving. And like, it's amazing. And that's what I like asked my dad to come here to see that, like see my life here, how much I've changed. Like what, like the people you meet, like he couldn't believe the amount of people that like from all over the world.
I can't believe it either. You're like the most well-connected person I know. I'm pitching, like, you know, everybody, at least as far as foreigners.
We don't get it on the Chinese. But I'm you know, sitting at a table with like all these different cultures and different jobs and different And it was funny because at first, like, he would ask, oh, are you a teacher too? Oh, are you a teacher too? And no, I'm a journalist. No, I'm an architect. No, I'm a, you know, and he's like, yeah. I'm not going to ask that question anymore.
Well, we met a bunch of people from Korea, like, last fall who came for a Frisbee tournament.
Yeah.
And like, foreigners. And they couldn't believe how many people are not teachers here. Like,
yeah.
They said in, like, Seoul, every foreigner you meet, oh, yeah, I'm a teacher. Yep, I'm a teacher. Yep, yeah. I'm a teacher. And they're like, huh. People have, like, regular jobs here, or, like, other jobs.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Like, I have friends that work at, like, actually finding, like, how that my good friend Tamara, she's, like, a really good journalist here, and she's from Spain, and she's a correspondent, and my dad was, like, super impressed with that, so it's, like, seeing that, like, and, like, him seeing that, like, this is all there, like, I think that nobody really understands, like, what an expat life is, but it's really cool because you are meeting so many different types of people and different types of, like,
And that's totally that seems just so normal to me, and it's I have to remember that not everybody lives like that.
No, they don't. And they, and like, last night a girl met, or this guy met Tanya, who's from Pakistan. He just moved here. He's from the States. And Pakistan, really? Wow, I've never met anybody from Pakistan. I'm like, yeah, she's just from Pakistan.
Yeah, like, that's like my 10th friend from Pakistan.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he, like, just wanted to really talk to her. He couldn't believe that she was... But and then I think about that when I go home. Like, a lot of my friends, they don't have, like, friends from all over the world. So
right.
I think it's really cool, though, because it does, like, you see, like, different cultures just by meeting these people, you know? So
yeah, you get to know a bit about them, and you kind of... Just travel in general is so great for just kind of understanding, like, that people everywhere you go are just, like, people.
They are
living their lives. You
it's
know?
True. We all want the same things, need the same things.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We're all just trying to survive.
Yeah, we've got, like, different views and different cultural things that we can talk about. But in different, like, deep down, we're like, we're, like, the same, you know? We're just... Yeah. Just look at kids, like, anywhere you go.
My
just
God.
Look at kids. They're all the same.
And it's so funny because I'm a teacher. My mom said to me, like, oh, the children there are going to be so well behaved. And they're
like, that's the stereotype. Yeah.
And they're going to, like, listen to you. And oh, Morgan, it's going to be great. And, like, the first few weeks, my mom goes, are they great? And I'm like, children are children all over the world. They are still bratty. You know, they still are spoiled. They are still, like, there's just kids. They still argue. They still punch. They, you know, like, China is not any different. Actually, sometimes it's a little bit worse.
Yeah.
So, actually a lot worse. But the one, I will say, in case any parents listen to this.
Yeah.
The one good thing about Chinese kids is that they love to learn, though. And, like, they, you know, like, there's some really good qualities about them. And they're really, it surprised you how loving they are. Because I didn't, like, how different I am to them. Like, they just see me as this, like, huggable, like, lovable person. And, like, they're also giving you a chance because you're different than what they're around all day and their families. And so...
Yeah, it's cool for them, too. They get to know, like, other cultures as well.
Yeah, it's true.
That's really awesome.
And honestly, from what I hear about friends in the States that work in, like, LA public system or public systems near my home and how they're... so tired and they hate their jobs because the kids are so rude and these especially inner cities and curse at them and, like, say horrible things. My kids and the Chinese school are still able to, like, I can turn it around and I can and they stop, you know, so they're never mean to me in that way. And so I do think that, like, the grass is never greener, but children are children, you know. They still it's actually kind of interesting here. They still like the same things, too. Like, the kids, if you ask them their favorite food, they're going to tell you a Western food because they've been exposed to that.
Yeah.
They still like all the same games because they're exposed to those types of things, too.
Yeah, what is it? Minecraft?
Minecraft, Legos, Pokemon. Like, they like all of those things, too. So it's really interesting. Like, I did a pen pal thing where they wrote letters to an American classroom in the American classroom.
They still do that?
Yeah, I do it. I do it. I did it last few years.
Yeah, you did it.
And I don't know if... No, I was the only one in
like
the school.
Like, emails
that
or...
No, we wrote letters and sent
packages. That's awesome.
Packages.
I didn't know that still existed.
Well, I think... I don't know if everybody does it, but... So I did this with this class last, actually, 4 years that I've been here. Mm. And the kids, the one thing they loved that the teacher told me was that they were saying the same things. Like, I have a dog, I have a cat, like, I don't eat them.
That's another stereotype.
I play with Legos. Like, what do you like? Do you have sisters or brothers? Like, they really love that they were like, wow, we have a lot in common with Chinese kids. Uh-huh. And they saw the commonalities. The only, like, and then I would make videos of things they were eating in lunch just to show that there is some differences too. And, but that's, it was really cool. And actually, I had a grandparent in my class that was really good at calligraphy. Yeah. And we sent, like, we got the children's English names, and then the guy translated and wrote made a calligraphy scroll for every child in that class.
Wow, for all of them?
For all of them, 25 scrolls.
That's a lot.
So, but he did it really quick. I had it like within like 3 days because he's just good at it. And the parents in that class were so excited because that was something that they could keep for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and those are so beautiful too.
Yeah, he made it really pretty with a border and had and did it for free. And it was awesome, yeah. Oh. So I do that every year, and I send like chopsticks, and when they send this package, they send stuff that was made here. So,
the Americans.
It's actually not quite interesting.
It's just making a return
it's like
journey.
Stickers and like things that they think is American. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Or they think that that might be different, but it's there's nothing interesting really. Like if you think about it, it's in the Chinese
it's all
kid.
Made in China.
Yeah. So sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, I was just gonna say. If there's one stereotype about Chinese people that's really true, they eat with chopsticks.
They do.
That part is definitely true.
But they start off as forks till they're like age 4.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. I taught in an early childhood center for a long time. So they do know how to use forks too.
I would never even know.
Yeah. So when people come and visit though, it's like you forget that people might not know. Mm-hmm. And they're only going to be here for a week. So they might not even care to master the technique. So like I'm like... Should I bring a fork to the restaurants for them? Like, you don't actually think about that.
I was kind of worried before moving here. I thought I thought I might lose a lot of weight, which I don't want to do because I can't eat with chopsticks. I can never do it at home.
Now you're a pro.
Yeah, now I've got it down.
Yeah, it's actually not that hard. No. But I was kind of embarrassed because, like, the first meal I had in China, I went with, like, these two new girls that I met, and they got noodles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't know how to use chopsticks. So, literally, like, the noodles fell and I had to, like, catch it. Uh-huh. And, like, they thought that I was, like, the most clumsy, like, messy eater. And I was just like, what do I do? You know, but it's, like, that it's awkward. Especially in your first meal is noodles. Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is the slurping, which feels weird when you first come here.
Yeah.
Because Chinese people, like, they'll slurp their noodles like... It's really loud like that.
Yeah, it's almost over exaggerated. Like you don't need to make that noise.
But it like I've heard anyway that it really indicates that you're enjoying your meal when you slurp.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and so it makes it a lot easier to eat the noodles too with the chopsticks. And but it's such a self-conscious thing if you're a
but
Western.
It's awesome because all of those things that you see them doing that make you feel like it's rude and where you're from, but it makes you feel like yes. Now I don't have to be like super like pristine like I can actually just like eat it and not feel embarrassed if it like gets crazy.
I love it. It's so liberating.
It is true.
Nowadays when I walk down the road, I'm just like
spitting.
No. I get it loud. I really work it up and I don't even care who's watching.
Like, yeah, it's true. But I don't need to actually spit that much. I'm just trying to hawk it up, you know. But I don't like it when they do it so close to me and they spit and I feel like it's about to hit me. That's the only time it bothers me. I'm like...
Oh, I guess I've never had that.
Yeah, I've had guys...
That's what I know of.
And all of a sudden spits like right next to my shoe and I'm like, okay. Yeah. But you know what? Do you? My favorite thing also is like the Beijing belly. Wouldn't that... Yes. If I was a guy, I would like love... It's liberating. Like, yeah, I'm going to roll... I'm hot. I'm going to roll my shirt up.
So the guys here, when it gets warm, they'll... Especially if they're like a little bit heavy.
Yeah.
They'll roll
round belly.
Guys who are ripped don't do this.
Yeah. No.
They'll like lift their shirt up on top of their belly and just rest it there. So it looks like they're wearing a bra or something.
It's awesome.
And walk around with their belly sticking out.
So I asked a Chinese woman once I was friends with. I asked her why... Yeah. They do this. Like, why don't they just take their shirt off?
Just take it completely off.
But she just said, like, the way they roll it up, they think it's good for their stomachs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she said it was something about the, like, digestion or something.
There's a lot of cultural things about digestion.
Digestion, yeah. Drink hot water. More hot water.
Yeah, always drink hot water.
Yeah. I have a runny nose. Drink hot water. My foot hurts. Drink more hot water.
Yes,
yeah.
That's the solution for every illness here.
Yeah, but I have learned, because I was always bad, like, back home, of, like, going to the doctor when I got sick. I always kind of just, like, wanted to just go away. I'll just naturally just let it do whatever. But I've actually started drinking more hot water and, like, tea and, like, those little granular packets they have you put in the hot water.
Oh, yeah, the herbal medicine.
Like, the herbal medicines. Uh-huh. And I actually get better here faster than I used to, because I go to the pharmacy and I get those things. I drink a lot more hot thing, and I actually can see that. But not to cure everything.
I know. There's some things that you kind of do need.
Like, yeah, you need some antibiotics.
Yeah, sometimes you need that.
Yeah.
Hot water's not going to do it.
Especially if you have something that hasn't gone away in like a month. So.
Yeah. Well, a month for sure.
Yeah.
But it, like, adjusting to here, I kind of think of the guys with the shirts on their bellies, and it's, for some reason, it's really easy for me to adjust to other cultures. And for China, it's I mean, there's rough spots, but it's been overall pretty easy for me. Mm-hmm. And I always think back to the, did you ever watch the show Futurama?
No.
Well, it doesn't matter. So it's this guy from the 20th century, and he gets frozen for 1,000 years.
Oh, okay.
And so he's living in the 31st century, and there's all this crazy shit everywhere. And one episode, his girlfriend shows up back from the 20th century, and she's having a really hard time adjusting to this new life in the future. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, everything's, he never fit in his old world. So like his new world, everything's fine. And at one point they go to an art museum, and every picture or every painting they have, they don't have paintings anymore. They just have fat guys with their shirts off, and then they tattoo paintings on their stomachs. And she's like, why do they do that? And he's like, well, no one wants to look at art anymore if it's not tattooed on a fat guy's stomach. Duh. Like, it's just totally...
It's moving art.
Yeah, it's just totally normal for him. And it just, everything seems so normal for me. Like, these guys, there's just some fat guy with a stomach out.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
Who cares?
But it does make you kind of think, like, what is the big deal? Like, why are... And, like, because people kind of judge it, and it's like... You stop judging things so much now, and you start being like okay with like things that, why does it matter?
Just travel in general does that.
Yeah, like why does it matter? Yeah, I think that a lot now, and I think that actually like going home, you kind of be like, wow, we worry about too much, or we care about too much, you know.
Right.
So we're always worried about like that people looking at you or judging you or that what's the word, vanity stuff.
Yeah.
Here it kind of takes that away, and you're like, oh, it doesn't really actually matter, you know.
Yeah, so. I guess I've never been into fashion anyway, so maybe that helps me a little bit. Makes it easier.
I love what, and the Chinese fashion makes you kind of like not care sometimes either, because they have bows and things on everything, and you're like, wow, I can wear anything.
You'll see a couple walking down the road with like a...
Both of them
are wearing a tracksuit or something. Yeah, like, it's awesome. Costs $2. Yeah.
Patterns everywhere. Yeah. So you know how like they have that thing in the States where it's like Walmart, and like what you see in Walmart. Mm-hmm. And they find, like, they post these crazy pictures of people in Walmart online. Have you ever seen it?
Oh, people of Walmart.
We could do that with like people in the subway in Beijing. We could. Like things that you see.
I just see that. I saw that site. I'm like, God, this is so cruel. They're just like people who don't have any money are going to Walmart to like buy their basic goods. And like,
we're taking snapping
pictures. And you're
making
fun of them?
Like, I know. It's not good.
Yeah.
But we could easily do that in the Beijing subway. And things you see in the subway.
That's true.
We'd be making fun of all different type, like lower class, middle class, upper class, because it
all
so
a
bad.
Mixture. Yeah.
It wouldn't be so bad as Walmart.
Wouldn't be quite as bad.
Not as cruel.
But yeah, just if there's some purpose behind it, then like
that's
having
true.
A laugh maybe. But like if you're just making fun of someone just because you think they're low class or whatever.
That's true. The funnier thing is the translations in Chinese, the posters and the...
Those are hilarious. Yeah. Although they're less funny now for me because I do know a lot of Chinese characters now. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some of the online, like...
So it actually translates to
what
they're saying.
Oh, well, they're just... Yeah, they just
took
this word.
That's exactly what it... Yeah.
Right.
That's true. But they're just translating their words. So it's almost like they think it makes sense. So.
Right. Well, like there's one that is like Beijing duck. And mm-hmm. on the menu it said, fuck the duck until it explodes.
That's awesome.
What? Like before I moved here, I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, that's hilarious. But now that I've been here, I'm like, oh, well, this is just a slang word for fuck. And it doesn't really mean that. It means like a certain way of cooking. And a lot of words for like
so it's
cooking
ruined
have
it for
the
you.
Word explode in it. And, like kung pao chicken is gung mm-hmm. bao. And the bao means explode.
Okay.
But it doesn't really mean that. It has a bunch of different meanings.
So it ruined it for you, really.
Yeah, it kind of ruined it. It ruined the humor in it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
not funny anymore.
Nah, not so much.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, actually, that's just an honest mistake.
Yeah.
One of the sites that actually put it up on my podcast recently had like 20 pictures or whatever of funny signs. One of them, it was a toilet and it just said like, do not shit here. And they thought that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And then I read the Chinese and it literally says like, it's forbidden to shit here or to defecate here.
Yeah.
It didn't, it's the Chinese word for like defecate.
Yeah.
And it is literally just translated that way, but all this is, you can tell, it's just a toilet in a restaurant that doesn't have the plumbing necessary to handle it.
Yeah.
And there are sometimes toilets that you can only pee in.
Yeah. Well, they actually, I've seen even some Western restaurants that have those signs in the bathroom that says, like, please only pee in this toilet. Because
right.
they can't.
It's the plumbing system can't
especially
handle it.
Especially the hutongs.
Yeah, yeah. These old places.
Yeah.
They just... You got to find a better place for that.
It's funny when visitors come to explaining to them that they have to throw the toilet paper in the bin and not in the toilet, and they can't get up. Even if I go number two, and yes, just it's okay. Nobody's gonna judge you.
Right, and it's you can't put toilet paper in the toilet, but that's not only a China thing. I don't know how much other travel you've done, but.
No, there is other places.
All over Latin America. Like,
yeah.
You'll plug up the system. I actually read the story about some U.S. soldiers like plugging up like several blocks of in Iraq.
Oh, really?
Like backing up their sewer system.
Well, because it's
flushing toilet paper.
I've actually heard of other teachers here that like refuse to not flush it because they feel so uncomfortable.
Right.
So I'm sure those soldiers were like still like, fuck it, and like throwing it in the toilet, so...
Well, not that we're on that subject, even worse, like, there's this new trend, apparently, in the States that people, especially men, will use, like, wet wipes for wiping and put them in... Of course, they throw it in the toilet, because that's the only thing that you ever do.
Yeah, but those are not... shouldn't go in the toilet, right?
No, no, and there's a giant issue now of... they call them fatbergs. It's like an iceberg of fat, and it just... they showed a picture of it, and... you know, it looks nasty, but these things just build up in the sewers. This is in the United States.
Yeah.
And they completely clog up the sewer system. It costs the municipality a ton of money to clean it out.
Oh my God.
So that's a big issue. So now there's companies that are trying to make them more like eco-friendly, and like these wet wipes are like, they'll actually...
Everybody got really... I know it's a trend, and I've had friends tell me why they cannot use toilet paper anymore. Because if you get something on your hand, like dirt, would you wipe it away with...
Right. It's the worst thing.
With toilet paper?
No, right.
You would
wash it.
Or you would use something wet.
Yeah.
So they have, like, these guys love it. Yeah, my dad loves it, too. He's wet.
Oh, so it is, like, really a
it's
thing.
A thing, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's this new trend.
But just throw it in the trash.
Yeah, don't put it in the toilet.
Don't put it in the toilet.
Yeah, but people feel uncomfortable, like, doing that and throwing it in the trash, so...
I know.
It took me a while to remember. Like, I catch myself sometimes, like, throwing it in the toilet. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I forgot.
Then you have to put your hand in there and dig it out.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
Don't want to do that.
You just flush and hope it goes down.
Yeah. Please go down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cross your fingers. What was the other one I was going to say? I don't remember now.
But it's, like, all of those things of, like, things that are, like, normal to me now, but it, like, I had to remember, like, don't drink the sink water. Like, don't do, you know.
Yeah, that's a weird one going home. It's like,
I can drink
like,
the tap water.
I can just drink this.
Is it okay?
This?
Yeah.
Like,
and then actually having to tell people that are visiting, like, by the way, don't drink the sink water.
Yeah.
Use the, yeah, so.
Not that it's horrible here. It's actually not. Like, you could probably get a few drops in you or whatever.
Yeah.
There's places
yeah.
in the world where, like, a drop gets in your mouth and you're just, like, shitting your
poison
pants for 4 weeks.
No, but here, I don't think it's that bad. Yeah.
It's not that bad. And it's, I've heard that there's like minerals or metals in the mm-hmm. water that you don't really want, but that's more of a long-term buildup.
So I heard of this guy, like a friend of a friend, that actually like was like, I've been drinking the tap water. It's fine. Like nothing's happening. And then like months later, like it started, like he started getting sick from it. So maybe it's like a, not something might not happen right away.
So but it is a slow buildup.
Yeah. It's a slow. Yeah. I've heard that, but I don't know how true it is, but I don't really want to test it. So.
Well, but when you go to a restaurant, and you get water, they're gonna, if you get the hot water, they're just boiling tap water.
It's so true. But they swear that if you, like, what, it kills it? Like, the chemicals?
Oh, I'm sure it kills all the bacteria and stuff. That's gonna be dead as long as you boil it. But then if there's metals in it, I don't know how much of that accumulates in your body. That's
true.
I don't know. There's all this, you know, there's a fair amount of, like, mm-hmm. rumors that who knows how true it is.
But it's like, I don't know. You kind of just are like, okay, well, we're going to hope.
But nothing bad happens. You're going to be drinking boiled tap water no matter what. Like if you just drink soup, that's all tap water.
Yeah.
It's been boiled.
That's true.
But as far as just drinking straight water, it is super easy to get bottled water. It's everywhere and it's cheap.
No, and that's what they bring you if you ask for cold water. And usually, some places kind of look at you like you're crazy. Like, we don't sell that. Cold water.
Yeah, well, that's terrible for your digestion.
Yeah.
So you should never drink cold water.
Yeah, the Americans drink too much cold water.
Yes. That's why they digest food so badly.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. Everybody knows that.
Oh, my God. But if you ask for ice, that's even when it's funnier.
You've done that?
Never. But I've seen other people do it, and I'm like, come on.
It's never even crossed my mind to ask for ice here.
So, like, those guys that visit, they're obsessed with it. Renee is obsessed with it. Like, there's people obsessed with ice. And, like, I had to, like, tell them, like, look, guys, like, it's not a thing here. Like, you just have to get over it for a week, you know?
Yeah.
But Renee started ordering ice from other, like, restaurants and stuff.
Yeah.
And having it delivered. So then she uses it. But some people have to have it, you know, in their cup.
To get it delivered to your house.
Yeah.
That's pretty extreme.
Yeah. And I think, actually, some Western grocery stores have it, so.
Oh, do they?
Like April Gourmet, and
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we had this thing, we went to this Frisbee tournament, that's where the Korean mm-hmm. team came, and they ordered an ambulance to just sit outside, because there's like 12 teams or whatever, and there's a lot of sprained ankles and torn knees, little injuries in Frisbee. Mm-hmm. So they had an ambulance there the whole weekend, which sounds awesome in theory, but then someone like hurt their ankle, went to the ambulance and asked for ice, and they're like, oh no, we don't have ice. Like, what?
No, that's actually like, important.
Actually, we can't do anything for you. We'll just, you know, that's not our job.
Like, you know,
oh, thanks.
Actually, thinking about that, that's funny, because I took a first aid course yesterday in China, and it's funny because some Chinese parents and stuff wanted to come because they don't have that here, you know?
Okay.
But they were teaching you that you have to, like, if this is kind of vulgar, but amputate a limb or something, that you have to, like, put it on ice, or in a couple things where you need ice.
Okay.
And I was thinking, actually, like, would I actually even be able to get ice if something like that happened?
Yeah,
probably not. Like, but then those first aid things are from the American Heart Association. So they're showing these people, like, go get the ice and da-da-da. And people are running and going, get in, like, 1 second, and they have it. It's, like, in a normal situation, it's...
Right. Just go to your refrigerator and push the button and ice will come out.
In China, like, I don't even, I don't know if we could actually save an amputated part.
I'm just surprised they'd have the same video here that they'd have at home.
Like, well, it's because they, the foreign hospitals are doing, like, American Heart Association.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't.
But there's so many cultural differences that you'd have to cover that.
Yeah, there were things that were like, I don't know if you could actually be able to do that here.
Right. Or just,
and even when they're talking about, like, call 911 or whatever number is.
Yeah.
And then we actually, it was funny, we actually all started talking about it and, like, thinking, like, well, they're like, well, you know, like, those numbers wouldn't speak English. So if you guys have a problem, then you should probably call Oasis. And then they'll call their
directly.
Emergency number.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, like, I really hope nothing bad ever happens. Because
I'd have no idea what's
going on. I wouldn't know who to call. Or I would literally call a Chinese friend and say, can you call an ambulance?
Right.
Because,
I know. And then the ambulance drivers, like, they're not like EMTs. They're just like taxi drivers, basically.
Yeah, they're just people, you know.
And they have a siren and lights, but then cars don't yield to them.
And I heard they don't get there very fast.
No, they get stuck in traffic. Yeah. They take
and the scary thing, actually, that I've heard, my friend had a seizure my second year in Beijing. And it was two of my friends. My other friend was trying to help them. She actually spoke Chinese, so she called the ambulance, and they came. They would not let this guy on the ambulance until he paid.
Oh, that's another thing.
Yep. Like, if you, because you don't have, like, even insurance, they don't, like, put it all through. Like, you have to pay right away to get the whatever. So it's kind of scary that, like, you don't get treated or anything until you give money. But if you're unconscious,
I know,
and you can't actually, like, give the money, then they're waiting for somebody else to speak on your behalf. Yeah, it's kind of scary.
Which I know, and it leads to all sorts of depressing stories and stuff. And we shouldn't even go there.
Yeah, we won't go into all of those stories. But yeah, it's kind of all of those things are interesting for me. Just the healthcare system, how different it is.
Completely different.
Yeah.
How they look at it.
But in some ways it makes sense. Like when I tore my, when I had my hernia surgery, like, it was really interesting to see, the ways you get rooms, and like, there's so many people in China, there's so many people that they have to have a waiting list, you know? So
that's true. And it's a waiting list for a room.
Like Katie had that problem with her Achilles tendon.
The one where she tore her Achilles tendon?
Yeah. Well, I mean the problem of like needing a room, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That was an issue.
And they told her to wait for a month, and she would have to have a wobbly Achilles tendon for a month.
I know.
But that's like, but those kinds of experiences, like our surgery experiences and those kinds of things, like that really like are interesting to see the different.
Very interesting.
Cultural aspect. And that also helps you like kind of grow a different mindset that like, you know, like be patient and then actually having to recover.
Be patient.
To see like Katie having to recover the Achilles tendon and like
the way they look at recovery is totally different.
Yeah, and like it's you and like me hurting my knee like 2 years ago and like being on crutches, also seeing the hand like it's the city is not really made for handicapped people. They don't really view those types of things. So, or they don't even think about it when they're constructing things or, you know, like I couldn't go on the subway on crutches because. Not every one of them has escalators, and not every one of them has elevators, and some of them have like these mountain of stairs.
Yeah, so. Sometimes they'll have like the thing that flips down, and it's like for if you're on a wheelchair, and it kind of glides you down the side of the stairs.
Yeah,
that seems so cumbersome too.
Yeah,
yeah, there's definitely a different way of looking at it. I mean, I think. Anytime you're thinking about China and like, why do they do things this way? For me at least, what helps is to remember millions and millions of people. Like, you got so many people that you got to think about the masses and what's best for them. And unfortunately, some people get left behind then.
Yeah.
But there's things that are like good about this, the medical thing. Mm-hmm. For example, like Katie's surgery, if she had done that in the States, they maybe would have kept her overnight, but probably not. She probably would have gone in, had her surgery, and gone out. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't even keep you in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Here, they kept her for, like, 4 days, which sounds like really excessive. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is, but the most common complication with that particular surgery is infections, and it's because near your Achilles tendon, apparently the bacteria like to thrive, or there's some medical reason for it, that bad infections are super common there. Mm-hmm. So they're actually like monitoring her, making sure she is healing well.
That's true.
In the hospital.
And actually, it was interesting. It's actually cheaper to like stay in a room overnight.
Way cheaper. Yeah. Not even, you can't even compare the two.
But she also had her surgery at a public hospital, right?
Yeah. A public hospital, but
good one,
with an international. Was it an international wing? Yeah. Or it was like the sports wing.
Okay.
Sports.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe the best sports medicine hospital in Beijing.
Yeah, but that's pretty cool. And I actually had a great surgeon, and he really took care of me and checked on me.
That's
and
good.
Yeah. So there are good things. It's just.
Oh, there's great things. Yeah.
There's also interesting things that like that you learn along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you got going on in your remaining time in Beijing?
So I've 5 months left, and you know, there's just some things that you want to check off that you haven't done, and I want to like go do some more things that I've been talking about: camping on the Great Wall, hiking, things that I should have done a long time ago, and just see some other little towns and stuff like that that I haven't seen.
Yeah, we've gone camping, I guess 3 times now on the Great Wall. Yeah, 3 times, and it's always been awesome.
Yeah, I haven't done it, and I keep saying I'm going to do it, and
we'll
I
never
do it.
Yeah,
well, I was talking to Katie about it, about I want to find a group that like is good at camping and that like won't complain about it. So I think it'll be fun. I was a Girl Scout.
Oh, all right.
And I worked at a camp for a summer, so
you can bring cookies.
I can bring cookies, and you can make the oatmeal.
I'm good at that.
Yeah.
That's my breakfast pretty much every day.
Every day. Katie's too.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We'll definitely go on the Great Wall.
I want to ride a camel in Inner Mongolia and sleep in a yurt. So yeah. I'm going to go to Hohhot. Yeah.
And for spring break, you going to do that?
No, I'll probably do that for like a long weekend. For spring break, I'm kind of like jumping through ideas. I kind of don't want to spend a lot of money. So I'll do something in China.
Uh-huh.
I haven't been to Yunnan, but that may or may not happen. Yeah, I want to see a few things before, like, just, not even, like, a few things that I definitely want to see, but, like, other things that it's like, oh, I'd be open to that. Just, like, I haven't seen as much of China as I should have, you know?
Yeah, well, it's a huge country.
Yeah.
And there's so much to see here.
But I have seen several cities, but I'd like to see a little bit more. And I love how cheap it is to ride the trains and...
Yep.
Especially if you don't go super or long distances, so
yeah,
or at the right times, at holidays a little more.
Well, the train prices I don't think ever go up, but they sell out really fast.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Oh, and that whole like new rule about the 30-day thing during Chinese New Year—that was not.
Oh, you can't buy tickets more than 30.
You
days
have
in
to
advance.
Die it up to at least 30 days in advance. Yeah.
Yeah, normally it's maybe like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but it makes sense that they'd have to do that.
It doesn't matter during regular times of the year, but Chinese New Year, everybody wants to travel, right? So when they put that limit on, you're like, oh, I have to wait and hope that I can do it.
And for a lot of the country, it just kind of depends on the route. Like shorter distances, if you're not going overnight, it's usually easy to get a ticket. Just walk up to the train station and you don't even have to book it in advance. But if you want a bed for an overnight trip, you probably want to book that in advance, which there's a couple ways to do it. One is Ctrip. I'll just tell people, like, there's a website called Ctrip.com.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all in English.
Ctrip? I just thought of Yahoo. Ctrip.com.
Is that their jingle?
No, I just made it up.
Oh, you want that to be their jingle?
Yeah. I'm going to call Ctrip.
Oh, you can get some money from that.
Yeah.
Ctrip.com.
A little voiceover. You're welcome. But yeah, so Ctrip is great because it is English, and I've noticed that the prices don't really change.
It depends. For cheaper tickets, they're just going to charge you like 10 kwai or 20 kwai, and they'll tell you they're charging that much. Sometimes they get sneaky, though, and they'll give you the price, and the price is already inflated over the normal price, and then on top of that, they'll charge a bunch more. So I've learned how to use the Chinese website to do this.
Yeah, but the way what you have to go through, I'm going to let you do that.
It was a lot of hoops.
Yeah. So I've seen it, and I'm going to let you take your master. So,
yeah. Well, the other thing you can do, though, is you can go to any train station in China and just write down the route you want to take and from anywhere to anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy it from anywhere. So it can be two totally different cities than what you're actually currently in. And they'll sell you the ticket at the Chinese price, like the lowest price. And all they'll charge you is 5 extra kwai, which is like less than $1 for the service.
So that's true. Lori used to always go to that little one next to Dongjimin subway
station. Yeah, right. And you don't even have to go to the train station. There's like little satellite offices all over the place where you can do this.
And I've seen people do it. I always go with you, so you just buy the ticket. So I haven't had to deal with it yet. But
We buy your tickets. We pay your bills.
It's so nice to have parents.
We always joke around like Morgan's our daughter. Next year you're not going to have us. What are you going to do? You're going to be able to handle yourself?
I'm going to try to be independent. But it's, you know, also teaching abroad, like, they kind of, like, they give you a house, right? They kind of show you the way on a little bit.
Well, but so where's your new school?
In Morocco, Casablanca, American school, so.
Cool, and they give you an apartment or something?
Yeah, but what's cool is, you know how we have, like, our housing out in, like, suburbia, and we call it bumfuck Egypt. so our school's out there, and they usually house you out there, and you have to find it. They actually house you in this inner city, and then give you a shuttle to the school that's in Bangkok, Egypt.
Oh, the school so in
it's in about Morocco. 40 minutes outside of the city, but they or maybe 30, but they offer you. It's kind of the way they described it. The teachers was kind of like what me and Katie do every day, where it's like 30 minutes in the morning, and depending on what time you leave in the afternoon, it could take 30 to an hour, you know. Okay. But they they offer, like, they give you transportation.
Oh, that's cool.
So, that's awesome. Here, we don't have that, so.
Nah.
Yeah, that'll be nice. So, yeah, I'm excited. I just, you know, I'm ready for something different. And honestly, the main reason why I chose Morocco was because it was Morocco. Like, I love the...
What do you mean?
The destination. Like, you know, talking to people about how beautiful the country is.
Oh, I see.
And
it's just a country you want to go anyway.
Yeah, and it's so close to Europe. And I've heard so many things that you don't get in Europe, and benefits wise and salary wise and all of these kind of like you know like I can get pretty good in Morocco and still get to to see
high
parts
quality
of Europe that I've been wanting to see.
That's true. It's good, like, stop off point.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna, it's a lot of its destination, but I also am excited because yeah, a new school, new motivations, and new just like starting.
New chapter in your life.
Yeah. So.
Sounds great.
I need it. I just need something like to motivate me again, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I gotten so comfortable here that where kind of I was in the States, where I was like comfortable and scared to kind of break out of my little comfort zone. And I'm kind of getting there again of, Beijing is my home, and I'm comfortable, and I have all the friends that I've made, and all the connections you say I have. Like, am I gonna have that again? You know, like, it's kind of like that scared moment, and that's what keeps you here. So it's like, okay, push yourself out. And I actually, my job even said to me, like, well, how do we get you to stay? And I said,
oh, you're in Beijing?
Viva said, like, how do we get you to stay? And I said, don't, just fire me. because if you talk me into something that sounds good, I might change my mind, and then I'll be, you know, I'll stay one more year, and it's always going to be that, just one more year, just one more year.
Yeah, you just got to go to school and break some windows or something.
Yeah. They'll get rid of me now.
Yeah.
But I, no, I'm excited to do it, and I'm kind of pushing myself out of my comfort zone again, and throw myself into something uncomfortable again.
Yeah,
and then I'll get comfortable. It's like a cycle.
It is.
You know,
it
like,
is absolutely
get comfortable again, and then push yourself out.
But I think it's key. It's like in life, like you have to. You can never get too comfortable.
Yeah.
Because the next thing you know, you're like 65 years old, and you're like, "What the hell happened to my life?
What did I do this whole time?"
Yeah.
And it's true. Like, I mean, my dad came here, and he had never traveled before. And you know what he was saying when he was here, like. Huh. Like, why didn't I ever, I never did anything like this. And he, you know, he was kind of like looking back at that. And I don't want to get to 70 years old and like think, I wish I could have done this or I wish I could have done that. So,
yeah.
So just like people, I read this little meme the other day that says, I don't want to live thinking, I wish I could have eaten that. or I wish I would have eaten that. Huh. So now I'm like, is dieting really my thing? I don't want to live back thinking, I wish I could have done that. I wish I could have eaten that. Or I wish I would have done that. So it's exciting. Yeah, it's just, and there's parts of the world I don't care to see, and there's parts of the world I want to see. So I'm going to try and see all those parts.
And Morocco's on the ladder, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't until I came here. Many places that I've seen, I never had any expectation or want or anything like that. You know, I never thought of Asia. Now, Southeast Asia and different parts of Asia are my favorite places to travel than Europe. Like, I've been, I always wanted, like, every American wants to go to Italy and wants to go to France and Greece. And I've been to some of those places now. And honestly, like, it doesn't even compare to what you can see and do in Southeast Asia. So, I mean, obviously, there's great things to see in Europe, obviously. But, like, it's cheaper. in Southeast Asia. The hospitality is amazing. Like, people are so friendly, just like walking into little stores and all these little places, and the history, and like, it's just, it's pretty cool. And I like that they've opened my mind to other countries.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Europe's got some cool stuff to it too. And it's maybe a good spot if you've never been anywhere, mm-hmm. like go to England. I mean, come on. Other than Canada, that's like the easiest place you could possibly go.
That was the only place I had been before I came here. So when people asked, is England? So somebody asked me, like, have you ever traveled? No.
It doesn't really count.
It doesn't count. I went to England once.
There's some differences.
Yeah. I went to England once. I mean, they liked my accent.
Yeah. Just drive down the right side of the road in England and you'll see one big difference right away.
That's true. That's awkward. And my friends that were from England that rode in the States, so I was like, they were kind of funny about, I was really nervous because I thought they would mess it up, but they were able to drive.
They could do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Australia mm-hmm. 2 years ago now and drove on the left for the first time.
That long ago.
Yeah, it was that long ago. It's crazy. Yeah. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Although I couldn't like listen to the radio or anything. I had to like focus.
I think what would scare me is turning.
Yes.
Yeah, like turning into the right lane.
It wasn't bad as long as there's other cars mm-hmm. ahead of you and you just follow them. Mm-hmm. But I had a couple of times where I turned and I was all of a sudden on the wrong side of the road.
Oh my God. And I'm like, yeah, that's scary.
Oh fuck.
Yeah.
Luckily.
You turn.
Well, not in a one way, so I just had to move left.
Oh, but yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is Melbourne has these mm-hmm. weird hook turns, I think they're called, because they have trams on the road.
Okay.
It's hard to even explain it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this weird system where you have to turn at a weird time, and I can't even get into the details. Maybe I can put up a diagram. It's something completely alien to me.
Yeah.
And it's on the left.
Yeah.
But I'd still rather drive there than in China, mm-hmm. by far.
Yeah. I'm really nervous about that. I don't actually want to ever drive in different... When I actually had that Mexico offer, they asked me if I wanted to bring my car. And I'm like, I didn't know that was an option. Oh, I could drive to Mexico. Like, oh, yeah.
Right.
But I don't think... I like not having my car when I'm abroad because that's just another thing to worry about. So.
It is. Anyway, so you're off to Morocco next year.
Yep.
Do you want to talk about your website?
Oh, the GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, after losing all the weight, I've like had like lots of extra skin and things like that. So it's one of those things where you work so hard for something and there's a lot of things you can't get rid of when you've been holding on to it for so long. But I'm wanting to get surgery for it. So before I go to Morocco, because my whole like new thing is like wanting to go to Morocco with all of that transformation that I've been wanting to do in the last year in the past, so I can focus on
the next chapter,
and not focus on that as much.
So like when you lose a lot of weight in general, like mm-hmm. the skin stays, it doesn't stretch back?
You can stretch as much as you can back, but like talking to trainers and other specialists, like you're hold on to that much weight for 30 years, you can't stretch it all back. So it kind of gets like saggy and weird, and it kind of gets in the way of like clothes, and it can become health risk. But usually if it's not a health risk yet, you pay for it out of pocket. You don't have insurance, won't cover it. So so I've been seeing specialists here because I went to see a surgeon just to ask him if it was extra skin. Because I was just so like, oh, this is getting so difficult. What is it? I think it is. Like, I don't think this is fat anymore. And found out that some of it is, but most of it is extra skin. So, I want to go to Morocco, like, just focused on my job and focused on just staying fit and not so focused on losing it anymore.
Yep.
And just start living my life, you know? Because it's been an awesome journey, but it gets draining. So of always thinking about it, getting on the scale and checking your centimeters and like all of that is just like, ugh, it's obsessive, you know? So I went to see the specialist and he told me it was extra skin. We talked about money and all of that. Well, like I said, I haven't been the best at saving money. Not just because, let's rephrase, not just because of like my horrible saving money or the bad year. I actually have been paying student loans off and debt and...
Sure. You had stuff back home.
Yes. And I still actually pay that. So, you know, because I have my bachelor's and my master's that I'm still paying off.
Okay.
And as a 20, you know, I'm 30 now, but in my 20s, I also was really bad at paying minimum payments and not paying huge chunks because I was like, I'm just going to throw this, you know, and like finding out that when you pay the minimum payment, you're not really paying a lot off the
debt. Yeah. Surprise, surprise.
You know, you learn these things. So now I'm trying to pay more off at a time. But, you know, so I'm just reaching out to friends and family with GoFundMe to see if they will help me in my next get the surgery and move on to my next chapter. And my dad says that he will give $1,000 to pay for it. And he's just asking at least how many other people you have to help me do the math. You're more of a math guy. $20 a person. Like if everybody can give
about 50 people.
Yeah, there you go. If everybody can give $20, then it would get there. It's about $5,000 I need, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, and that'd be a lot cheaper than in the States then too, right? To get that surgery?
Yeah, I think in the States would be more expensive. I've done research, but the thing about researching online is you don't know how accurate the information is. But I've tried to look at different types of avenues and I think it is cheaper here. But you know, just I'm not getting anything done that doesn't need it. Like my legs are fine. I'm not. It's just stomach and arms. Like I'm not getting anything done that's like doesn't need it because it's not about vanity for me. It's about just the hard work I put in, the healthy and like just like, you know. So
finish the job. You're like a statue that has been completely chiseled. But there's like a sheet hanging over the top of it.
Yes.
And you exactly. want to pull that sheet off.
Yeah, I just want to,
reveal the statue underneath.
This can turn into many analogies.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, like, we're all like, I know it's cliche to say this, but like, we're all really proud of you and all the work you've put in. Like, Katie and I have seen the effort that, like, you're going to the gym, like, all the time, like, religiously, like, every, not every night, but. Whatever it is, three nights a week, four nights a week, just working out and always watching what you eat. And it's awesome to see and like how much effort you put in and all the hard work that you've done, and it's really paid off. So I'm happy to help you in this final step. And that actually doesn't seem too bad, like getting 50 people to pay $20 each. Yeah. Like that seems achievable. Like,
it's so achievable. And I think I have 50 friends.
I hope so.
So, you know, but I got nervous and scared of the idea because I don't ever want to come off as like a charity thing. And you also see that like people put out GoFundMes for crazy things sometimes and like people are asking for money all the time. And I wouldn't ask for it if it wasn't something that I felt like I really needed and that I can't totally afford it all. And honestly, if I got half of it, I'd be happy. So,
cool.
Yeah. So we're going to see what happens. And I think that friends, and if you believe in it, if you like believe in the story and like and all that, but if you don't believe in plastic surgery or anything like that, then I understand that.
Yeah, I know. You're right. And I think you're doing it for the right reasons, and I think you have a good heart. And
yeah, I'm not doing it because I need to look like Barbie.
No, right.
Yeah. So I think that it's that's what I'm gonna do. But I also decided that I'm not putting it out until I go find the hospital, make an appointment, and that people know that I'm serious about it.
Okay.
So that it doesn't, like, people aren't giving money to something that they don't even know is going to happen. So.
Oh, so I can't even put up a link yet for you.
You can soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll put this out in a couple days, so hopefully I can get the link up.
Yeah. Soon.
Okay. Awesome.
So I'm going to talk to a few hospitals this week.
Hey, cool. Well, we'll see how that goes. Yeah. We'll have to put some updates on.
Yeah. And we'll put up, like, pictures of the board.
Yeah, we'll have to do that too.
Yeah, you're good at that, so we'll use it.
All right, well, it's been great talking to you.
Because I never talk to you, ever.
Yeah, we live together. So we do talk a lot, but we've touched on some subjects that we don't normally go into. That's been great. Special thanks to Morgan McKinnon for coming on the show. If you want more information about our discussion, you can go to my website, 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number, 1000daysbetween.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.